love song for you. People at this honky-tonk, they're about to drive me insane. Tell you the truth, my darling, you're the only reason I came. But your beauty's so distracting, hope it don't lead to my demise. Can you please tell your boobs to stop looking at my eyes? They're playing crummy rap music, and there ain't even a band. And I wouldn't even be here, but you hold my heart in your hands. Yes, you do, baby. So before I lose my cool and start acting like them other dirty guys, would you please tell your boobs to stop looking at my eyes? Shout, got the bitches in stitches, and we're all hanging out looking good in the hood. Tell you what it's all about. Shoot that rapper and let the guitar play it.
All right. Okay.
The remix is good, buddy.
I like that. That is our music manager, Mike. I'd like a big hand for him and everything. And see, now, where was we? Okay, we're talking about Jackie and breastfeeding and everything. And the reason I asked Jackie that particular question wasn't because I didn't think she was a woman, but she was a member of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, and I just didn't know where the milk was going to come from, but apparently that has nothing to do with it. At any rate, what she told me was profound, and she said, well, what it is in my blood I have antibodies, because I've had the flu, and I've had a cold, and I've had this, and I've had chicken pox, and I've had all that. And so if that baby's using my milk for at least 6 months, then them antibodies are getting inside that baby. And that will give him a little bit of a start, on this life. Ted, do you think that's sound, or was she just, smoking a little bit too much herb that day?
Brother, there are piles and piles of papers that I have read on breastfeeding, and the jury's in on this. Worldwide, it's just known that breastfeeding saves the lives of infants, and it reduces their disease burden. And breastfeeding also reduces the disease burden of the mothers. Now, in America, it's normative, which means that 75% of the cases, the infant is put to the breast right after birth. But it is not normative for the mother to continue breastfeeding after that event, or after perhaps two or three times of doing it while they're in the hospital. So it's really easy to find out about it, guys. There's a lot of information on it. You go and talk to your doctor about it. Your doctor's, unless there's something wrong with you that would make it impossible for you to do that, the only thing that makes sense is breastfeeding. She's absolutely right. My mom breastfed all four of us kids, and we have been, by and large, more long-lived and healthier during that period of time than our contemporary.
Well, you brought up not aspersing the religious category, and I don't do that. But I remember years ago when researchers and doctors began to see the value of stem cells, when we suddenly discovered what stem cells would do, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to the conspiracy theories now, folks. We're going to go why you shouldn't believe in conspiracy theories. Because there was a conspiracy theory that floated up that people were organized in certain organizations to make sure that we had enough abortions so we could collect the stem cells from the babies and, you know, put them up for later use by the so entitled, okay? Well, I know someone who had children, who was married, and he and everything, and he was knowledgeable about these things. And they had a thing called the umbilical cord that feeds the baby while it's inside the womb. And in Texas, they normally take that thing, throw it to the hogs, you know. Well, he didn't do that. He had it put up, frozen, or cryovac, or whatever they do. And he saved it because in his family, there was a heart condition, a genetic heart condition, and everything. And surprisingly, the children he had developed this condition. And when they did, guess what? They had their own stem cells saved from birth that could be used to correct that condition. I won't out this guy unless he ever wants me to, but that was genius. Okay, and he didn't have to kill no babies to do it. You know, it just worked. It just worked. So that's why when you brought up that the Agape people were religious oriented, and I'm all for that. If nothing else will help these little criminals, maybe dragging them to church on Sunday might spark a nerve, you know, or something, and get them, you know, going the right way and everything. But when they start wiping all these kids' medications into a trash can, when they ignore psychiatry, psychology, and the work of doctors who work with people like Beth Thomas and people like Puck and all that, then it's ignorant. It's just ignorant. Just like the coronavirus. You know, we had a horrible 3 years. We were wrestling with this thing. And then the shot came out. And like I said, I'm on both sides of the fence. I did not take the shot, okay, for various reasons. My reasons were not that I thought that an evil government was putting nanoparticulates in the shot that was going to connect me with a satellite. I mean, that is insane. As a matter of fact, I'm going to deviate just a second here, kid. I want to bring up the latest conspiracy theory so everybody see how wild it can get. I had a friend come over the other day, and he had heard something. He had seen a video, and he was suitably alarmed. I mean, we had to call a meeting on the back porch because there was a nuclear bomb being hidden in Kentucky. And that nuclear bomb was under the control of the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. In Kentucky, right. And
don't you think all them white people in Kentucky would have noticed the black person?
Well, you know, that's a consideration. But anyway,
maybe in Louisville, but
I'm going to tell y'all, I crappeth thee not. This is the story now. This is the story. And this thing was going to be set off. And it was going to give an electromagnetic pulse. And that electromagnetic pulse was going to shut off all the electricity in the country, all the way over to the Rocky Mountains. All the way up to Cumberland Gap to New York City. I mean, he was going on and on. And what we had to do now on Saturday morning, what we're going to have to do on Friday night, we were going to have to cut all of our lights off, unplug our television sets, our refrigerators, air conditioners, everything. Take the batteries out of our cars and set them on wooden pallets at a safe distance away from, you know, the whatever. Take our cell phones, and I'm not kidding you folks, this is what I'm so take our cell phones and wrap them in three layers of tinfoil. You had to save enough tinfoil to make a hat. Anyway, three layers of it, okay? And then when the pulse came, that would save your electronics, and that would help you survive the attack by these evil people. Now, I just nodded, was real polite, because I knew, okay, there's a loose screw here, you know, and I just let it go. And it 24 hours later, because I was starting to have to fight a battle around the house, because they were starting to get ready to do this. And all of a sudden, the story popped up. Now, there was a person in Europe who gave a speech about a week or so ago, and he was talking about the war between Russia and the Ukraine. He made a flip, and instead of saying February the 24th, when the war with Ukraine actually started, he said September the 24th, and then he said the words, a move that will rock the world, which he was referring to the political ideologies that were coming to focus in the Ukraine war, okay? And then they backed it up. This guy backed it up. He had a prophetic message, and he was going to send it to me, and I was still waiting on it, but I found out what it was. Now, get this. I'm not kidding, okay? An episode of The Simpsons where Bart Simpson echoes this very same theory. So we were fixing to cut off all the lights in Dover, Tennessee, hide our batteries, bury our cell phones, and everything because Bart Simpson told us to. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what a conspiracy theory will do for you, right there. Right there. And I got it, even after I found out, and I tried to tell people, oh, you don't, it's hidden in plain sight. That's how they tell people. They slip it into something like The Simpsons, and they try to tell the people. Crazy, 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 okay? It's outhouse crazy. So when you get, come right back to where I was, medical technology. We were trying to figure out the coronavirus, COVID virus, which had been identified years and years ago, but it never hit anybody. But actually, the doctors and scientists knew that we were due because this thing was out there, okay? And when it did hit, that's why some countries, China, seemed to be on top of it because they knew it was coming too. And they did cut it loose. So somebody went to lunch over at the food market and the wrong dogs came home. That's what really happened, okay? And were they trying to develop a weapon, weaponized? Well, of course they were. That's what they do, the Chinese. Of course they were. Did they think it was going to get out and everything? Not right then. No, they had other plans. They had other plans. But this, the bottom note is, this is what conspiracy theories will really do to you, okay? Really. Now, back to the psychiatry end of it, back to agape. My main observation is they're not treating these kids. Well, we told you about Cedarcrest. We told you about the San Marcos Treatment Center. Ted can tell you about the ones he's run. And Agape is not doing anything to address the actual mental issues of these boys. Go ahead, Ted.
No. If you're from Missouri, you know this. If you drive through Missouri, you know this. In eastern Missouri, down there on 40, and then you know around St. Louis and northern Missouri, you know, before you get across the Illinois line, you see a lot of billboards that say "Spare the rod and spoil the child," and Missouri is a perplexing state to me. I've tried to understand Missouri from a historical standpoint. I've tried to understand Missouri from the standpoint of the psychosocial influences that are exerted by the presence or the lack thereof of institutions. By population, by income distributions and other demographics, and I just don't understand Missouri. I don't get it. Missouri is they're in Missouri, sheriffs are very powerful people. It's kind of like Florida that way, and certain other states. But sheriffs are very powerful people, and Missouri characteristically has places where absolutely that's where all the sex offenders go. That's where all the pedophiles live. That's where all the, it'll be out in the middle of the country too. You know, I mean, it's not a, it'll, it won't be even really very close to a city. That's where, that, that's where all the XXX stores are, where you can buy sex toys and pornography and that kind of stuff. I had a lot of fun in Missouri one time. I used to hang out down there in Joplin, and just I would go to the hotel bars, the motel and hotel bars were the best places to go to meet people, because boy, I tell you, Joplin is just it doesn't look like much, doesn't sound like much, but it is. It's a happening place, and there are all kinds of people from all over, really from all over the world, but all over Missouri for sure. That go through Joplin. You've got a lot of Branson's right up the road, so you know you've got. I mean, it's a great place to meet people, and I'd sit down and sooner or later, if I sat at the bar and had an appetizer and a couple of drinks, you know, somebody would sit down next to me and we start a conversation. And I've seen people get have sex in those bars. I've seen preachers come in there and start up a congregational meeting of strangers, and so he preaches a sermon while everybody was drinking, and he was too, and. So I don't understand the mindset of the average Missourian. I just don't. And my grandmother's from there. She's from Kansas City, the Missouri part of Kansas City. And so I spent a lot of my youth in her house in the old part of Kansas City, Missouri, and you know downtown. And she just let us kids. We had little kids. And we go to the theater on our own. It was probably six or seven blocks away. And sometimes there was this bar that we would stop in, and the owner would let us in. It was real dark. The blinds were always down, and he'd let us kids sit at a booth. And I mean, he didn't charge us anything for it. He'd give us these little bottles of Coke. Do you remember those little bottles of Coke, Billy? They were
six ounce Cokes. Yeah, yeah, and it was a real Coke, man. It was like snorting Coke.
I know they were delicious, and all the I mean, you know, we were going to the early showings of these movies, so it'd be like, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be. The bar would be full. I mean, a whole bunch of people sitting at the bar drinking up there. I think that Missouri is kind of a mixed up place. I don't think they know themselves. You know,
not really. Yeah. Hey, Mike, look up "It's All in Your Head" by Diamond Rio after the next break. Anyway, Well, where was I going to go?
I think you were headed back to Agape.
Let's go back to Agape. That's why I asked you for all, "It's All in Your Head." You know, that'll put us.
So, what do you think they ought to do with all those kids? I mean,
they already got a plan. They're going to give the parents, you know, the option, come pick your kid up. But now you got to understand, if you have to pay for that mess up there, it costs between $4,000 and $6,000 a month.
Right.
Okay. And these people that got those kids in there, they're willing to pay $4,000 to $6,000 a month, just not have that kid come back to their house.
Right.
So, and they said, well, you can come pick your kid up if this comes to fruition, when it's just going to, and everything. Or we're going to take control of it with the Child Protective Services organization, and we'll take care of it, you know. And there's a good number of these parents are saying, wait a minute, you're going to take this boy and I don't have to pay you nothing? Bye. Glow, Felicia.
You're gone. I can tell you for a fact that RTCs look at kids, the first thing they look at is their record of assault. And if they've got a long record of assault, and particularly recent ones, they're not going to take that kid. I don't care how much money you give them.
And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. Without naming any names or any accusations or legal implications or anything, when Ted advised people about how to treat a rat and try to tell them it's going to be dangerous, and these highly esteemed doctors at Brigham Young University was telling him, oh, no, you don't understand. We got it all figured out. God praise Joseph Smith and everything. And then patient goes up to a place and takes a little bit of nail polish and cremates a guy.
They messed around and they found out.
So. Yeah. How'd that work out for you, Joseph? Golden tablet.
Yeah, I'm golden tablet. The DSS in Missouri has a responsibility to the caregivers and those kids. They just do. So
yeah.
The only thing I can think that they could do that would be equitable would be to weed out the people that they have complaints against and replace them with their own people. Just get caseworkers.
That would work. You know, we were underwent a wonderful show, by the way. We're covering a lot of stuff in the same area. We underwent a metamorphosis in Texas with our Child Protective Services. And it's, again, I can name one person involved in this because he's now retired. But our Child Protective Services 10 or 15 years ago was horrible. Horrible. And what triggered it was the death of a little girl called Alex Hill, where her father smoked a joint on the porch. Somebody smelled it. They called the CPS. They took the little girl. Little girl ended up in foster care. Foster mother took the little girl by her ankles and beat her brains out on the fireplace. And Governor Abbott, I know he's not very popular in certain circles, but Governor Abbott said, well, we're going to change this up just a little bit. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to fire that director, and I'm going to take Texas Ranger Hank and put him in charge of it. And he has a friend that I can't name, because Hank retired. He's got a friend, and I'm going to put him in charge of investigations, and we'll see if we can't straighten this out. And they did. Now, I'm not saying that some kids don't get picked up that shouldn't have been picked up. I'm not saying that all the mistakes were corrected. But I am going to say, due to the efforts of these two men, it's a lot more equitable, a lot more equitable, a lot more fair, because both of them were dead set against breaking up families. And they did something that was really amazing. They insisted that all foster parents had to have a simple background check through the local police department. 51% of them were... Yeah, I think it dang near destroyed the whole foster care system for a while, didn't it?
Yeah. It did.
Yeah. I mean,
it did. That's why they wound up. That's why they wound up bifurcating or separating the investigative division from the housing division. You know, so now you've got a bunch of private. You have a private prison. Who has a big contract with the state of Texas to provide housing for the children that are being put in foster care, and you don't have that old system, at all, and CPS just handles investigations. Well, yep. You know, to me. You know, you and I went down to Austin when they were having the subcommittee hearings on that, and we wanted to give input to that. You remember that?
And, yeah. When there's so many there's so many kids there that we literally couldn't get into it. Let Jerry know, Mike, we'll pick him up after the commercial so we can give him some time. Go ahead, Ted.
Deliberately, they put busloads and busloads of kids in the Capitol. You couldn't, and they put hoods over all the parking meters around the Capitol. So you couldn't park within 5 miles of the Capitol.
No. So
even if you did, even if you'd gotten there early enough to find a parking place within 5 miles and taken an Uber to the Capitol and 3 hours ahead of the subcommittee hearing, you couldn't have gotten inside because there were literally thousands of people around there. And Billy and I watched. Now you can always tell a CPS lady, okay? I'm just saying. It's like a sister wife.
All right? I like big butts, and I cannot. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to go into the details because you know I don't want to take a lot of flack. But you can always tell a CPS lady, and so we saw about five or six CPS ladies get dropped off by somebody in a car, and then four or five Capitol Police would come out there and surround them, and they'd run them in the back door of the Capitol to the subcommittee hearing. So they were the only ones that were there to give any kind of testimony, you know, and the people from the private prison, they were there, to give testimony. That was it. They, uh-huh. People like us, who had been through the system and knew things, you know, had things to say, were not given any kind of an ear at all.
Nope.
No ear whatsoever. And I tell you, if you want to know what a dial tone sounds like, try to call Greg Abbott. I dare you. Try to call Greg Abbott or try to call Ted Cruz. You know, you're not going to get an answer. Try to call who's that other guy that's leaving?
Cornyn.
I always forget his name because he doesn't do anything except for whatever whatever his corporate donors and Mitch McConnell tell him to do. So you know he's pretty much out of the. You know, I mean, you'd never hear anything. I don't think. Can you remember anything Cornyn's ever said or done?
Yeah, he wrote me a letter back when I was having my problem with CPS about 15 years ago, and I wrote a letter to Senator Cornyn, and he gave me the Puerto Rican answer. He wrote me a nice detailed letter, said, "That's not my job, man."
please check the box below to donate.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. 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 The Puerto Rican answer.
Yeah, boy,
I'm telling you, you know that someday I'd love for us to do a show on America's what do we call? They're not colonies, they're territories. I'd like for us to do a show on American territory because you know we're entering a phase now where now that we've done all the imperialistic stuff that we want to do, we want to stop worldwide imperialism. You know, we want to stop them. I love Putin. I don't love Putin, but I love you know. But all those protesters came out in the streets yesterday with their families, and they were out there protesting away, and he'd have the police come out there and knock them over the head with a billy club, and they'd drag them and throw them in a van. And they'd have these little mobile police stations, you know, that were literally mobile. And they'd throw them in that police station and say, "Now you're in the army. now you're drafted."
All right. I think we got one coming on, Ted. I'll see you after the break.
Looking forward to talking to Jerry.
Yep.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Saturday was Constitution Day. I'm Peter Serafini with today's Liberty Minute. Albert Einstein said the strength of the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it. Einstein said each citizen, not citizens at large. On September 17, 1787, 39 men signed the United States Constitution. The grand experiment of a representative democracy framed as a constitutional republic began 235 years ago. The average constitution tried in other countries only lasts 15 years. So clearly, the United States Constitution is remarkable. I have handed out thousands of pocket constitutions, and I can't believe how often someone says, "I've never read it," or "I don't really know what's in it." Be determined to defend the Constitution. Read it. Teach its principles to younger generations. Returning to constitutional principles is our only hope of saving our republic. Find more constitutionally minded commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Mama died young, giving birth to a son in a home for wayward girls. And it was a sidewalk soapbox preacher looking forward to the end of the world. Every Friday night he'd pick Jesus a fight down at the local pool hall, racking up souls, condemning all those caught behind the eight ball. He said, "I preach the light shows the way. Don't ever trust what the government say. We never walked on the moon. Elvis ain't dead. You ain't going crazy. It's all in your head." Lucy was a messed up, dressed up waitress with a slightly tarnished heart of gold. She wouldn't have that for a new stepmama as far as stepmamas go. Daddy knew she was the one as he baked in the sun in a parking lot preaching the truth. Up shot her hand and she cried, "Oh man, I feel it, yes I feel it, I do." Been revealed to me down in my soul, there were two shooters on the grass and no, we never walked on the moon. Elvis ain't dead, you ain't going crazy, it's all in your head. Let us sing, it's all interpretation. To find the truth, you gotta read between the lines. Work out your own salvation. That narrow path is hard to define. Heaven's more than a place, it's a state of mind. Spirit to take up a snake.
In a moment of doubt, the venom turned out stronger than daddy's faith.
I'll never forget in his dying breath the last words daddy said. We never walked on the moon, Elvis ain't dead. You ain't going crazy, it's all in your head. Let me tell you, it's all interpretation. To find the truth, you gotta read between the lines. Work out your own salvation.
That narrow path is hard to define.
Heaven's more than a place, it's a state of mind.
Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Mike, bring Jerry on. I'm glad he's here. We've run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, thanks for having me another night in a row. Hey, listen, you guys touched on a subject earlier about midwives and natural birth versus cesarean. And I listened to Dr. Ted and Austin Brower on healthmasters.com. I try to catch their show daily, but I usually catch it on a rerun. And they talk about that, and they also talk about during the pregnancy, a midwife, possibly if you get one, would check the D3 levels of the mother for like the last 6-7 months of the pregnancy, make sure that those levels stay very high. And usually when it's a natural birth, doctors in the pregnancy room there where they give birth, they end up cutting the umbilical cord way, way, way too soon. These guys mentioned that, hey, you should let that umbilical cord basically pump out, because the last things that it's pumping out is the basically the brain makeup and everything else like that. And people who do that, their kids end up pretty smart. Cruise right through school without a problem and usually end up with better paying careers, let's put it that way, in the profession. Now, Ingrid Castle also has a show on RBN on Saturday evenings. I forget what time. It's 2 hours. It's called Immunize Wisely. And she just covered this about, if people are planning a family, get your body checked out. Okay, I mean, make sure you've got the proper vitamins, nutrients, minerals, everything else like that in your body. Because when the sperm hits the egg, this is when everything starts. So, I mean, if you got two healthy beings, the alpha and the omega, you're going to have good offspring. So, plain and simple. So, I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think you're dead on the money. Why it is that it's actually a kind of a new idea doing these 25 hydroxy vitamin D tests, I don't know why that's the case. I really don't. I've always believed that the sperm hitting the egg, the sperm that does penetrate the egg, is that there's something in that that's in that DNA code that is in that sperm that you've got a better chance of having a child or that's a representative of the survival of the fittest. So really it's preparation. We know now that we can change our own DNA. So, if you want to have kids, you're interested in having kids and you're a male, there are things you can do that can make your DNA healthier. You can abstain from alcohol. You can maintain a moderate weight. You can exercise frequently. You can stay away from toxic chemicals and do things that will make your offspring healthier. So the focus is on the mother, and I can't agree more with you. You're staying up with it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, hey, listen, it's not my idea. Don't be dead right with me. But the, like I said, Ingrid Castle and Health Masters, Dr. Ted and Austin Brower, and that's how Austin Brower, who was in the delivery room, was explaining, you know, hey, you know, we're going to wait. I don't care if you have to catch a tea time, Doc. You're going to wait until, you know, that umbilical cord, at least 2 to 3 minutes. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And, until it's pulled dry. So, like I said, I just wanted to add that maybe that would help people. In, let's face it, they tell women not to smoke. One of my best friends, when his wife got pregnant, it was like 32 years ago, 35 years ago. Now, this woman was hooked on Diet Coke. That's what she drank in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. I never seen her drink a glass of water, a bottle of water, or a glass of milk. Okay? It was Diet Coke. Sit down with eggs and bacon in the morning, Diet Coke. Oh, brother. That kid came out and was bouncing off the wall for the first 5 years of her life. She was a sporadic mess. I mean, couldn't sleep. And when she was a baby, you had to be real quiet around the house and everything else. They would tell you, you can't even come in because the kid's sleeping. Okay? Because if the kid wakes up, it's a holy nightmare. She is
right.
I just seen her a couple weeks ago, Labor Day weekend. Now she's in her 30s, and she is a, a nuclear physician. So she's the and now she does oncology, basically. But she doesn't say oncologist. She's a nuclear physician. So she basically, and I remember asking her, I said, well, hey, wait a minute. Radiation is horrible for the body with people with cancer. I mean, there's other things they ought to try first. High dosages of IV vitamin C, okay? Things like that. Get the Diet Coke and all the other crap that's in the food and everything else like that. Don't eat that crap anymore. You know, the grocery stores are full of it. But anyway, I said, hey, you're still killing people. She goes, well, people got to die somehow. And she agreed wholeheartedly that this was horrible stuff for you. But people, hey, they want a quick fix and they want to get an extra 2 or 3 years out of life or something like that when you can go, I know people that are 22, 23 years in from having cancer and went a more naturopathic way. They're still alive today. So,
well, it's just like Queen Elizabeth. We've been hearing a lot about her over the last week or two and everything. One thing that intrigued me was she started her day with a glass of wine. She had a martini at lunch and closed the day with a shot of bourbon. And died at 96. My uncle Virgil, he was 102 years old when he died, and I went over to Shreveport, or Benton actually, to the funeral with my brother, walked in, and his two older sisters were sitting there in the visitation room, and I walked over, I said, you know, sure, sorry, Uncle Virgil died, and you're going to miss him. Yeah, drinking and smoking killed him, that's what done it. Oh, my God, how old did they think he was going to get, you know? But, Jesus. But, you know, people, we eat an organic diet up here where I'm at, and we didn't do it on purpose, I'll be honest with you. Pam got all involved with these locals around here, and they all can stuff. They know how to can watermelon. I crap see not. They can watermelon. And, can like beans with hamburger meat in them, the veggies, all that kind of stuff. And everything we eat, is natural. It just turned out that way. And we all began to notice, after being up here a couple of years, that our health was getting radically different. Radically, much better. I can't say the kids are getting smarter, but they're trying. But, we are radically. Puck is a type 1 diabetic. I mean, needle in the leg every morning. And even her diabetes is starting to look a little better, you know. And she's got a lot of energy now and everything like that. She's worked on a movie. Going to go down to Georgia and start the movie someday here pretty quick. She's got her own show at the Liberty Beacon and everything. 15 years old, which is radically different than 2 years ago. So eating healthy, and if you feel like you got to take a vitamin D pill or even a Geritol, you know, add a little bit to your system, keep things going, then do it. But and like I said, and alcohol, I'm not even like my friend Juan says. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I've drank some alcohol. I was in country music for over 45 years, and I've drank some whiskey. Not anymore. I haven't drank in close to 2 years now, and I didn't go through no rehab or nothing like that. I'd come down with this COVID or whatever it was I had, and compounded with having had polio in my life and all that. And I simply went out to have a smoke one day with the guys out in the parlor at the place where I was getting better, and I noticed I hadn't had a drink in a month, and I thought, well, I got away with it, and I just never went back. I never took another drink, and that's a big difference in my life, big difference. But if somebody says, well, I just can't go to sleep without a glass of wine or a shot, more power to you. You know, when you start relying on it, which is what I was doing, then it's bad. When you have blood in your alcohol system, you're having a problem, you know, that kind of thing.
You're right.
Yeah, everything in moderation. And the marijuana thing, one of the blessings of the slow, meticulous legalization of marijuana throughout the country is in those areas now.
No, not throughout the country now. I beg to differ with you. Texas is never going to. Never
oh, no, but okay. Okay. Well, wherever it's legal to use, then you have people using it in the long term in their lifestyle, and you have doctors now who can study it openly, you know?
Right, right. Openly. Now we know. Now we know a bunch of stuff that we didn't know before.
Yeah. And we have, I know because I just listened to the commercial. We have was that CBD oil or CBD oil kit?
No, it's a paste. They sell some kind of whole. I've been meaning to look that up because they're using a whole hemp plant. Well, you know that means some of that's going to be the THC, and so I don't see how they. I mean, they'd never allow that in Texas. You know,
I don't know. Hey, me and Ted got involved with an old girl from Chicago. Yeah, we got involved with an old girl. You there?
Don't open the bottle and get it delivered to your house, and then have a SWAT team raid your house at 3 in the morning.
Well,
we'll find out. I don't know if you should try to find out that way or not by ordering it through the website.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree with you, Jerry. For a while, I was getting alprazolam from Canada because, I mean, my God, the prices in this country are just are terrible. But the drug companies are absolutely skinning us alive, boys and girls. I'm telling you, they're butchering us, and. So I was buying that stuff from Canada, and not so long ago I got a letter from the DEA, and they said, "Well, we got your bottle of alprazolam over here at the field office in Miami. Here, this is the address if you want to come pick it up."
Hey, anyway, I was gonna bust me and Ted up. We had an old gal come in flying from Seattle. I won't name her. But anyway, she had a little lab going over there, and she had some of this oil. And she wanted to get a circuit going where she could ship her oil to Texas and sell it in the oil stores down there and clean. So I said, well, send us a sample of it. And I checked with my friend in the Texas Rangers, and I said, how legal is this? And he said, well, it's got to be less than 0.04% of THC, you know, and it'll slip on back. It's good, you know. I said, well, send us a couple ounces of that or whatever, grams or whatever, you know. And she sent two or three bottles of it. I gave a bottle of it to Ted. I said, you know, here, look at this stuff and everything. And old Teddy, you know, he's a good doctor. He takes it over to Scott and White Research. And, oh, it was about 140% THC somewhere.
Yeah, that was Mike Simpson oil. That was what that was. That, you know, that stuff was worth about $400 a bottle.
Yeah. And she got in touch with me, well, before I got sick last few years ago. Wrote me a little email and said, you owe me $2,500. And I sent you this and I sent you that. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah.
She had a bag of drugs on her, that girl. I couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, you could have carried a sawed-off shotgun, you know, or, you know, just a shotgun with, you know, with a pistol grip on it in that bag. And it was a big bag, and that thing was full of drugs. How she got here with that bag of drugs, I'll never understand.
It's just like Lance when he flew in from Hollywood and told me, I got a package coming about Wednesday, man. If you're going to be here to pick it up for me at the house, I got to go into town. Okay, good. 8 quarts of marijuana. Pharmaceutical grade from California. I don't know how in the hell he got it to Texas.
Well, things are still they're still pretty hard on it in Chicago, aren't they, Jerry?
Yes, they are. But they also have their state paid taxes, marijuana sales stores all over the place in Chicago. And cops don't bother anybody. You could go over right over here in Worth, a suburb by me, maybe 11 minutes away. You can go buy it there.
Now that surprises me to no end, because. You remember those things they called poppers? It was some kind of carpet cleaning solution, and they put them in these little bottles. And, you know, instead of hanging yourself when you're masturbating, people learned you could breathe this stuff, and what it would do is it would take the oxygen out of your blood. So it achieved the same thing that people that hang themselves like. Oh, what's his name? That actor?
David Carradine.
David Carradine died that way.
I'd hate to be found in the closet like that. Go ahead.
You know, it's so undignified, but then again, I never really thought of him as being a dignified guy. But Chicago got wind of a shipment of those that were going to be coming in across the lake. And they got like 500,000 bottles of that stuff, and they were all Chicago's always been very anti-drug, and I've always thought that a lot of, you know, I know some people that live in Chicago and they live in a pretty nice neighborhood, but you know you're only a block or two away from gun violence when you live in Chicago, man. I mean that's pretty much the case. I mean, is that your experience with it, Mike?
Jerry?
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to a producer. Let's put it this way. Living around here for 62 years, I've learned where the bad neighborhoods are. So you don't tailgate anybody at a stop sign, because here's a trick. They stop short, you stop behind them, and they go to bullshit with somebody off the window, or the side window, and you blow the horn because you're too close and you can't drive around them. So you don't do that anymore, because a couple of them will walk behind your truck and start trying to open the back door. They'll even tie a metal cable on around your puck lock. Or around your, if it's a semi tractor, around your main closing, and they'll rip the whole doors off, and they'll use the doors as a ramp to jump up in the truck as you're pulling away. I mean, it's that type of serious thing. Hey, getting back to the healthier thing, I had my great uncle passed away about 10 weeks, 9 weeks shy of his 100th birthday, and he did the same thing. He had a shot of booze in the morning. He ate his eggs, his bacon, his homemade bread with homemade jam every single day for breakfast. He worked in a coal mine for 35 years, had black lung disease, and like I said, he lived 10, 12 weeks prior to his 100th birthday.
No kidding. With black lung.
With you black know, lung, yes.
You know, Casey Nunez has black lung, too. Do you know that?
No, I did not know. I didn't know that he'd done coal.
He's from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he's got a weird ass accent. You know?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did he smoke the pipe? The guy that had the black lung, did he also smoke the pipe?
I don't know. He smoked a lot of cigarettes. I know that. And when he got down to New Orleans, he's a stuntman. He's worked with Sylvester Stallone.
Well, he was a wrestler before that.
Yeah, it was the Psycho Hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, and the son of a gun has got HIV.
Yeah.
He eats aloe leaves all the time. So he's had HIV for over 20 years.
He married up, didn't he?
Oh, God. Boy, he lucked out, man. He married his high school sweetheart. This guy married his high school sweetheart, all right? Remet her after many, many years, and they hit it off again and decided to get married. She's so wonderful, and she took him to a big hotel. They have a honeymoon, and he told her one time, I'm going to go down and check on the bill and take care of it. Oh, don't worry about it. Well, she owned the hotel, and two others just like it. Yeah, and never told him. Yeah, he lucked out. He lucked out.
Yeah.
But Gary Busey, he worked with Gary Busey, too. And, I can't remember the other guy. Anyway, he's known a bunch of big actors. He helped Jackie in the old Eye Jackie days. He helped Jackie a lot in the production.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, I think we're coming to the end of this thing, you guys. So, let's see.
Right?
I think we're coming up. I hear it coming. Jerry, thanks for coming on. We were almost running out of something to say.
Yeah, call again, man. You're welcome.
Anyway. Yeah, I like listening to you guys. Yeah, you guys have a good one. Thanks for keeping me on so long.
All right, take it easy. Ted, I'm going to have to call Pam up there.
Okay.
She got to Agape, and I can talk to her. And I'll meet you in the morning.
All right, talk to you in the morning.
All right.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Renfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Say hello to my new friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Renfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
Gonna get the green light from Mom.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.